Happy New Year and welcome to the VAT update for January 2015. And in this month's edition, we've got five items. And as usual, this podcast is accompanied by detailed notes, and the notes themselves contain further links should you wish to research any of the topics covered. For those who like to follow HMRC developments, they have stopped maintaining their What's New area of the HMRC website on 9th December and migrated this to UK Open Government site. And as usual, there are links that you can go and have a look at this. HMRC published Business Brief 46-2014, which gives guidance on how small businesses which have a turnover that is under the UK registration limit but make overseas supplies, particularly of digital services, to other EU countries can register in the UK and take advantage of the mini one-stop shop services for their sales in other EU countries. Of course, this imposes a need to file a quarterly VAT return, and as we'll see at the end, getting a submission late can bring you into quite a serious default surcharge regime. But there is the possibility that you might be able to recover some of the input tax directly related to the overseas supplies, and also a proportion of the unattributable supplies. Another change which comes into effect from 1st April 2015 relates to the VAT treatment of prompt payment discount sales. Now, at present, if a supplier offers a prompt payment discount, then that supplier can account for the VAT on the discounted price, even if the customer subsequently makes payment in full and doesn't take advantage of the prompt payment discount. On 22nd December, HMRC have published their guidance in Business Brief 49, which sets out the process for accounting for and recovering VAT when a prompt payment discount is offered. And remember that after 1st of April, the practice has changed and suppliers must now account for VAT on the amount actually received. In Practical Solutions Limited, the company seems to have been making every effort to pay its VAT, but has been in the middle of what was a long and prolonged cash flow crisis, so that it was unable to pay its VAT in time, but paid in instalments, clearing the VAT liability before the next quarter ended. HMRC had been asked for time to pay arrangements, but they'd refused, saying the company had had enough of this, and as a result the company became liable to the default surcharge regime, initially at 0, then 2, 5, 10 and finally at 15%. So it was a persistent defaulter, but this company seemed to be making every effort to pay all of its VAT, and HMRC were just escalating the penalty. The company appealed, but frankly it didn't have a reasonable excuse, and so it cannot be surprising that the company lost its argument that the imposition, particularly of the 15% penalty at £15,551, was disproportionate. That failed, the court taking the view that this had been settled by Total Technology Engineering, and consequently the company had to pay the default surcharge penalties. But it gets worse, because HMRC looked at this and decided that the company had appealed but had had a postponement granted when it did not attend, and that meant that HMRC had wasted costs in preparing for a hearing which did not occur. And the court agreed and said that this was wholly unreasonable behaviour and awarded the wasted costs to HMRC. So be warned, HMRC are getting more aggressive, and if you have an appeal hearing listed, then either be prepared for it or ask in advance for the hearing to be postponed. And finally, we look at a decision of Barbara Mosdale, who had the very interesting decision finding that the mandatory imposition of VAT filing was discriminating against people with a disability, the old and infirm, and those with difficulty in accessing broadband services. But in this case, a Mr. Oxenham of Exmoor Coast Boat Cruises claimed that he could not file because of religious beliefs, but his claim was undermined by the evidence that he gave, because he was a director and shareholder of another company which filed electronically, and also he had arranged for his accountant to file BAYE and corporate accounts electronically. So he didn't seem to have a religious objection, he just didn't like using electronic services. Now, the judge carefully considered this and eventually came to the conclusion that the law is clear that you must be a member of a religious order and have religious objection to filing electronically before you can file in paper. She tested Mr. Oxenham's evidence and basically found it lacked credibility. So Mr. Oxenham has to arrange for his VAT return to be filed electronically, either doing it himself or instructing and paying somebody else to do it for him. But the decision is interesting because it clarifies the exemption from mandatory electronic VAT filing. Thanks for listening.